Now we're holding on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So now the previous Mishnayos in this parak have been talking about the rule, the basic rules of Nachla, and the previous Mishnah had gone through the Seder, which is that the Rashbam, after all the discussion of the Gemara, had given a summary of it, that what you always do is then when a person passes away, you first see if he has a son or if he has any descendants from that son, first always in the male line, then in the female line. If he has, for example, if he has a son, then his son yarshins him, obviously. If not, if he has children from his son, then if he has a son's son or a son's son's son, etc., whichever one is alive, then he gets the Yerusha. If there's no son in any particular branch, then you go to the daughter. The Gemara had mentioned how the Tzedukim disagreed on that point, and they said that if a man leaves over a daughter and a granddaughter, a son's daughter, and his own daughter, then they should yarshin equally. And the Chacham said it's not. And the Chacham explained that it's not so. And in fact, in that case, then the granddaughter gets the entire Yerusha through her father. Anyway, no sons or no branches, no descendants from the son, then you go to the daughter, no daughter and no descendants from the daughter, then you go to the father of the Nifter is no longer living, then you go to his sons or their descendants, none of them, you go to his daughters or their descendants, none of them, you go back one generation to the grandfather, and then you go to his sons or his sons or their descendants or his daughters or their descendants and so on and so forth. And so you trace back up generation by generation all the way back to the progenitor of the Shevet if necessary. So now, having discussed that, so now we know the Torah tells us of the story of Bnei Tzlochad, where they came with a question to Moshe that since their father didn't have any sons, and up until that point it hadn't been determined that girls yarshin at all, so therefore they came arguing that they should get his portion. So the Mishnah tells us that that in fact not only they got a portion, but in fact they got multiple portions. Bnei Tzlochad natu shloisha chalokim benachla. Tzlochad's daughters got three portions of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, the point is that since we've said that the descendants of the children go ahead of the brothers, then the point is over here that here with Tzlochad had children, he had daughters, then they go ahead of his brothers in getting the Nachla. We wouldn't say, in other words, that some of Tzlochad's potential estate in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, this is before they went into Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara. We wouldn't say that any of it goes to his brothers. On the contrary, so first of all, chelak avihen shahayim yotzei Mitzrayim. First of all, they get their own father's portion because Tzlochad was one of the people who left Mitzrayim. Now we're going to see in the Gemara that there's two different ways of looking at, or a few different ways of looking at, how exactly Eretz Yisrael was divided among the Jewish people. One way of looking at it is, and which is the opinion that our Mishnah follows, who left Mitzrayim. And you figure on that basis. So Tzlochad was one of the people who left Mitzrayim, therefore he would be entitled to a share in Eretz Yisrael had he made it alive into Eretz Yisrael, and instead then his children get it. And in this case, since there were no sons, then in this case his daughters get it. So that's the first one. So the point is that Ashbam says, now in other words, the point is, let's say for example you have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, who left Mitzrayim, and they both had children in the Midbar, and Reuben and Shimon themselves, the brothers, like all of the men who were, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, like all or most of the men who were between 20 and 60 passed away in the desert. If Reuben has a bunch of sons and Shimon has only one, then what we say is that Reuben and Shimon are the ones who actually get the portions in Eretz Yisrael, according to the opinion that our Mishnah is following, and therefore the portion that Reuben would have gotten had he made it alive into Eretz Yisrael is split up among his multiple sons, whereas the portion that Shimon would have got goes to his one son. So therefore, so the same way over here, in other words, Tzlachad had left, was one of the people who left Mitzrayim. He would have been entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Now that portion gets divided among his five daughters. That's the first thing. Second of all, the second thing is he gets a portion together with his brothers in the property of Hefer. Hefer is Tzlachad's father, and Hefer also was one of the people who went out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, so Hefer himself would be entitled to a portion in his, so both Hefer and Tzlachad, in other words, would be entitled to portions in Eretz Yisrael in their own right. So now, in other words, both neither Hefer nor Tzlachad lived to get into Eretz Yisrael. So now, when they're coming to divide up what Hefer would have gotten in Eretz Yisrael, so there you have, he has other sons besides Tzlachad. So they divide it among themselves, and so what would have gone to Tzlachad instead goes to his daughters, because again, like we learned in the Gemara had mentioned in the last couple of Dafim, that a person's nachla goes through, if he himself has passed away, it still goes through him to his children or descendants, etc. So that's the second one. So chelak avi and shaliyim yotzei Mitzrayim. So number one, that their father Tzlachad himself was one of the people who left Mitzrayim. Vechelkeim echa benichse chefer. And number two, that he'd be entitled to a portion with the other brothers of chefer. With the other sons of Hefer, rather. And number three, Vishahaya Bechor, third of all, Tzlachad was a Bechor of Hefer, Notel Shnei Chalokim, therefore he actually gets a double portion, as any Bechor would get, as we're going to learn later on in the Perek, those details. Now, the Rashbam points out, we are going to learn extensively later in the Perek, that you have Roy versus Muchzak. We touched on it a few days ago in connection with a husband yarshining his wife, that you have Roy, property that doesn't belong to the Nifter right now, but is going to belong to them later. And then you have Muchzak, property that they actually own right now, that they actually are in possession of right now. So we said, for example, as far as a husband yarshining from his wife, that he only yarshins in Muchzak, not in Roy. Later on in the Perek, we're going to say in the same vein, a Bechor only gets a double portion in Muchzak, not in Roy. If you have something which is not actually in his father's possession when he passes away, then the Bechor doesn't get a double portion of that. He just gets an equal portion with his other brothers in that. Well, on the face of it, then Rashbam says, so then at this point, when Tzlachad passed away in the desert, neither of them is Muchzak in Eretz Yisrael yet. So how is Tzlachad getting a double portion? And the answer is, as the Gemara is going to tell us, that Eretz Yisrael is considered to be already Muchzak to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, even though they're not actually in physical possession of it yet. Nevertheless, it's still considered, we're going to learn on Daf Kuf Yud Tes, that it's already considered to be Muchzak for the Jewish people, even before they came and took possession of it, because Hashem had already promised it to the Avos. We'll see about that later on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So therefore, so Tzlachad would be entitled to a double portion of it. And therefore, again, since he passed away, then his daughters instead, the same way as they get whatever portion he would have gotten as any other son, the same way they inherit what he would have gotten as a double portion. So that's how it is. Therefore, they actually get their father's double portion. The Rashbam, by the way, points out in this connection, you actually have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim where it lists the descendants of Menasheh, and it actually says the expression, you have an expression in the pasuk, v'shem asheni Tzlachad. The name of the second one was Tzlachad. Now on the face of it, that sounds like he's a second brother, so he's not a Bechor. But the Rashbam explains that v'shem asheni Tzlachad over there means it's referring to the descendants of Gilad, so it means the second generation. So it means, in other words, therefore, that Tzlachad is indeed a Bechor, but he's the second generation of Gilad, who's the son of Machir, the son of Menasheh. The Rashbam also adds that now you have another point as well. The Gemara is going to end up telling us that they actually ended up getting a fourth portion as well, because their father Tzlachad had another brother who passed away, and then the Yarshin his portion. So, because that brother died completely childless, unlike Slothod, who at least had daughters, this other brother of Slothod had no children at all, so therefore his brother Slothod would have gotten a portion of it, and therefore instead it goes to his daughters. The Gemara is going to mention that point. The Mishnah doesn't mention it because there's no real chiddush in it. Obviously, a brother inherits from his brother. That was already in the previous Mishnah. The chiddush is more the various details that we said over here. First of all, that Slothod himself should get a portion. That we learned from that Eretz Yisrael was divided based on those who left Mitzrayim. That they get a portion of chayfers, that tells us also that they also get from their grandfather. We wouldn't say that just gets divided among the living brothers. And the fact that they get a bechora, the fact they get a chelik bechora, shows that Eretz Yisrael is considered muksik. So the Rashbam in this connection, by the way, mentions the point that even though Slothod passed away before Chayfer, nevertheless they still get a double portion, and therefore it goes down to them. And Tosfos discusses that point and says it's actually not really so. When we talk about this idea of a Bechor, generally speaking, that he only gets a double portion of Muchzak rather than Roy, that wouldn't be so, again, over here, Eretz Yisrael is Muchzak, but over here, really, it's not called Roy in this case anyway. What we're talking about is, because here, even so, each of them is considered Muchzak in his own property that eventually is going to come into Eretz Yisrael, so it doesn't really matter, therefore, which one passed away first, Chayfer or Tzlofchad. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tznan commander Amalei Yotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Aretz. When we learn in our Mishnah then that we're saying that the Tzlofchad would have had a portion and goes to his daughters, etc. So that follows the opinion that Eretz Yisrael was divided based on those who left Mitzrayim. So like the Rashbam had said before, that, for example, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, left Mitzrayim, then each of them is entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and then when they pass away in the desert, then it goes to their respective children, so that if Reuven has more children than Shimon, then it comes out that Reuven's children get smaller portions apiece. As opposed to the other way of saying, would be Leboi Ha'aretz, Nischalka Ha'aretz, that you would say, as the Gemara is going to bring now another opinion that you have, you could say that it goes according to those who entered Eretz Yisrael, which would mean in the scenario that we said before, if Reuben has 10 sons and Shimon has only one, then we would say each of them is entitled to an equal portion because all 11 of them make it into Eretz Yisrael. So our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that Leyotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Ha'aretz. So now Slothod's daughters wouldn't have been entitled to a portion of their own, but they are entitled by virtue of their fact that their father Slothod is one of the ones who left Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yoshiya and Rabbi Yoshiya Mitzrayim Nischalka Aretz. Rabbi Yoshiya says just that Eretz Yisrael was divided based on those who left Mitzrayim. Anybody who was 20 years old or older when they left Mitzrayim is entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael, even though in practice they're not the ones who made it into Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, according to the names of the Shvatim of their fathers, they should inherit. Now, their fathers refers to, you have now the people who are entering Eretz Yisrael, who were counted in the second census in Parshas Pinchas. So we're saying, according to the names of their fathers, Shvatim are the ones that they should, is how they should divide it up. So that means, in other words, we go according to the ones who left Mitzrayim, and they're the ones who receive the portions, and then it's divided appropriately among their children. What about, continues Rabbi Yoshiya, the Pasuk also says over there that to these Eretz Yisrael should be divided, and these means the number of people who had just been counted in that second census in Parshas Pinchas, where it comes out with a total of 601,000 and some. And then it continues, La'ilu techolik ha'aretz. So on the face of it, that means that each of these gets their own independent portion in Eretz Yisrael. So La'ilu techolik ha'aretz benachla. La'ilu means ka'ela. Means when it says La'ilu to these, means ka'ela, means anybody who's like these, who is at least 20 years old, are the ones who were 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim, are the ones that techolik ha'aretz. Lahoitziyat, lahoitziyat, tefalim, as opposed to people who left Mitzrayim under age 20, then they're not going to get, then they get a portion in Eretz Yisrael only by virtue of whatever, of whoever they would inherit them from. So the Rashbam says, so for example, so you have a boy, let's say, so you have a boy 19 years old who left Mitzrayim, so fine, his father is between 20 and 60, his father would have been counted in that first census, so his father gets a portion, and then therefore he yaushens through his father. If not his father, then his uncle or brother or whatever other relative who died childless in the Midbar, if there was no such thing, the Rashbam says, if they didn't have a father, if, for example, you have a 19-year-old Yosef who left Mitzrayim, his father had passed away in Mitzrayim, his relatives, let's say, all had children of their own, so therefore there's nothing for them to bequeath to him, well then he wouldn't get a portion. So that's what it means. Lo'ela means now, when you're looking at the census, now at the end of the 40 years, and we counted only those who are 20 years old and older, the same way when it comes to those who are going to inherit, says Rav Yoshia, which is the ones who left Mitzrayim, it has to have been the ones who were at least 20 years old at the time. The Rashbam also brings from Sifri that another meaning of La'ela, the Sifri gives another explanation of La'ela, means that just like these who are now counted in the census are all Ksheda Mukdoshim, because they're all kosher, holy Jews who are going to be going into Eretz Yisrael, the same way it has to be in the previous census as well, we're not including the Rishoyim. So there would be the ones who, our Gemara is going to touch on this later on as well, that you have the ones who died in the desert because of the various Averas that they did, not meaning the national Avera of the Chet Maraglim. That's otherwise nobody would get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, but we mean, for example, let's say Adas Korach or other groups like that where they don't get a portion at all. So unless there's some other relative through whom they could get it. Which is one reason, by the way, why Slofchad's daughters, when they come with their argument, they mention the point that Slofchad was not among Adas Korach or any of those other groups over there, Kibachete Mess. He just passed away because of a personal Aveda of his own. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss in a couple of blocks exactly what that Aveda was. Anyway, the point is, because they knew if he is in fact from Korach's descent, if he is in fact, for example, from Korach's group, then they're not going to get a portion through him. So that's Rabbi Yoshia. Then Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Laboy Ha'aretz, Neschalka Ha'aretz. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, Eretz Yisrael was divided based on those who came into Eretz Yisrael. Those who left Mitzrayim have nothing to do with it. It's strictly those who came into Eretz Yisrael. So again, in our scenario before of Reuben and Shimon, the two brothers, where one has 10 sons and one has one, so now each one of them gets an equal size portion in Eretz Yisrael because all 11 of them are getting into Eretz Yisrael. Because he says that's what the pasuk means most straightforwardly when it says to these Eretz Yisrael should be divided in Nachla. So it's just that. So continues Rabbi Yoshia, then in that case, what are we doing with the pasuk that says according to the names of their father's shvatim they should inherit, which implies that we go according to their fathers, the Yotzim Mitzrayim. So the answer is, says Rabbi Yonasan, Mishuna Nachozu Mikom Nachos Shabbaolam. We treat this Nachla differently than every other one in the world. in the sense that we do go according to the ones who are living now, and I'm entering Eretz Yisrael shortly, but we also take into consideration the previous generation. Shekol nachos shva'olam chayin yoshin nesim. Always, when you have a nachla, the living inherit from the dead. So you have a person dies and his children inherit his property. The kan, but over here, mesim yoshin asachayim. Here, in effect, what we say is the dead inherit from the living. And in other words, we take the portions that are going to be inherited now, and we take into consideration what their ancestors would have gotten as well, and we redivide it accordingly. We have, by the way, the line in the minor lashon that we say when we visit the oil or other kiryat tzaddikim, right? We have the expression kana mesim yoshim asachayim, that comes from our gemara over here, and it's mitz. Being taken in a somewhat different sense. Here we mean it as far as how we divide the nachlos in Eretz Yisrael that we take into consideration the previous generation as well. There in minor lashon we're using it in the sense that the mason gains something from us that we each gain something from the other, that we gain a greater level of light from Hashem by visiting their kvarim. Anyway. So what do we mean? Kan mesim yoshim asachayim means, in other words, that as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, what we actually do is we do have, as Rabbi Yonasan is saying, each one who enters Eretz Yisrael gets his own portion, but then we redivide it based on their ancestors, based on their fathers who left Mitzrayim. So in other words, what we do is so in our scenario over here, where Reuben had 10, we have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben had 10 sons, and Shimon has one. So we're saying that Reuben and Shimon. So let's assume that Reuben and Shimon were both 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim. To that extent, Rabbi Yonasan agrees, you do have to have, in order for them to be entitled to any to be considered in this division, they have to have been 20 when they left Mitzrayim. But now what we have is, in effect, what we're saying, the children are just basically shluchim to determine how many portions we get. So what we do is, therefore, so in our scenario, then Reuben's 10 sons are each going to get a portion, so that's 10 portions. Shimon's one son is going to get one, so that makes 11. Then what we do is we bring those 11 portions back to Reuben and Shimon as though Reuben and Shimon were still alive, to divide them among themselves. And therefore we have 5.5 portions go to Reuben and get redivided among his children, and 5.5 go to Shimon and get, well, it doesn't have to be redivided because Shimon only has the one son. So in the end, by the time you're finished with so according to Yoshia, what we had said is that all we have to deal with is two portions over here, one for Reuben, one for Shimon, and Reuben's children split that portion between them, and Shimon gets the whole portion by himself. Rabbi Yonasan is saying what we do is Reuben, in the end, after we're done with the whole thing, Shimon's one son is going to get 5.5 portions, because to half of 11 is 5.5. Meanwhile, Reuben's sons are going to take the 5.5 portions that they're going to take the 5.5 portions that would have gone to their father Reuben, and they're going to split it among themselves so that each one of them gets a little over half of what would be a regular portion. In other words, when we talk about, we're going to talk about later on in the parak how Eretz Yisrael was divided, and we're going to have discussion about it in the Gemara, and in addition, there's a Macholkes Rishonim about the details of it, how they divided the land among the Shvatim. Did each Shevet get an equal size portion, or did Shvatim with larger populations get larger portions? But anyway, the point is, we would say that within each Shevet, you would have, let's say, each person is supposed to get a base core or whatever the amount would be. So it's based on that we're talking about the number of portions that each one would have. So then he brings from Tesefta that teaches this out in a similar way. So you have instead of 10 brothers and one brother, instead of 10 sons and one son, let's say you have 9 sons and one son, because that makes the calculation easier. If we have, for example, 5 base core to be divided among them, and a core consists of 2 lesach, So we have 10 base lesech to divide among them. A base lesech would be an area of 37,000 and some square amos. So what would, we would start with then that we would give a lesech to each one of the 10 of the, to each one of the 10 who entered Mitzrayim, 9 of Reuben's children and 1 of Shimon's. Then we would return them back to, Reuben and Shimon and divide them so that we have 5 lesechs for each one. And then they take, and then they give them back to their children. So that Shimon's one son ends up with 5 lesech, 2.5 base poor, and Reuben's 10 sons end up each with a half, half a lesech. So Omar Rebbe. So Rebbe explains. Let me explain to you how what this kind of thing is like. The Shnei Achim Koyanim, like you have two brothers who are Koyanim, Shoyu Beir Achas, who lived in one city. One of them has one son. One of them has two sons. And let's say that Ashbam says these two brothers decided among themselves that they were going to split whatever truma is given to one or the other of them. They're going to split it all evenly. So now, if one of them has one son and one has two sons, one has one son, one has two sons. They all go to the granary to collect their truma. So the one who has one son gets one portion on behalf of his son. The one who has two sons is going to get two portions of truma. So now they bring the 3 portions back to their fathers, and their fathers have made a deal between them. They're going to split everything evenly. So then they go and divide it evenly. So the one who has one son is going to end up with 1.5 portions. And the one who has two sons, each of them is going to get 3/4 of a portion. So in the same way you have, in the same way you do over here when it comes to dividing up Eretz Yisrael, that you don't just consider the present generation. You also consider the previous generation as well. Tosfos gets into a discussion about this based on Rashi brings this concept in Chumash and mentions this point that you go back to the previous generation and then you go to this generation. So in other words, even though our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yoshia, but on Chumash Rashi explains like Rabbi Yonasan. Many times Rashi will do that. He'll explain a lot of times on the Psukim in the way that seems more straightforward, that allows us to understand the Psukim more straightforwardly. So in this case, Rashi evidently considered that Rabbi Yonasan's opinion is a more straightforward understanding of the Psukim rather than Rabbi Yoshia, who said that Lo Eila would just be telling us that it means that in this census we counted only the ones above 20 years old, and in the previous census, therefore, it also has to be only those who were 20 when they left Mitzrayim. So Rashi evidently considers that that's not Pshut Rishon Mikra. So Tosfos actually asks some questions on the way Rashi phrases it over there. And Rashi implies over there that you actually go back all the way to the grandfather and you redivide it based on that, but our Gemara doesn't seem to imply that. So Tosfos brings from the Riva that it's Xeris HaKosav. When you're going back to their fathers, the brothers divide it equally, even though usually you wouldn't expect it to be that way. So when we say over here Mesim Yoshim Asachayim, we just mean it's Ke'im Yerusha. We don't mean it's exactly like the rules, like the regular rules of Yerusha. We just say that each brother who left Mitzrayim gets an equal portion. And then Tosfos goes on and discusses various nafkaminas of it and various other ways that there would be a nafkamina between these two opinions and various ways that we understand how the division would take place. Okay. The Gemara continues. Reb Shimon Elazar. Reb Shimon Elazar says, I have a third opinion on the subject. So far, we have Reb Yoshia, who says we go strictly according to those who left Mitzrayim. We don't really take into account those who entered Eretz Yisrael at all. So again, an Arm Mishnah, which said that Slofhod would have had a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and instead that portion went to his daughters, that would be according to Reb Yoshia. Reb Yonason says that we have to factor in both those who left, both those who are entering Eretz Yisrael and those who left Mitzrayim, and we do that redivision based on the previous generation. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that it was actually divided based on both of them, and that way we can fulfill both psukim in the simple sense. So in other words, now Reb Yonason had also said that we go according to both psukim, but Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying there's a different way that we're going to do it. We don't do this matter of chazara, of returning to the previous generation, like Reb Yonason had said, but rather we do as follows. Okay, Tzad. If a person was among those who left Mitzrayim, then fine, he gets a point. If he made it alive if he left Mitzrayim, the Rashbam has actually in parenthesis the words "v'loimi boy ha'aretz," that he was not one of those who came into Eretz Yisrael. But in other words, exactly that. Whether we have those words in the Gemara or not, that's what it means. So if he left Mitzrayim, but he didn't make it alive into Eretz Yisrael, he was one of those who passed away in the desert, but he was at least 20 when they left Mitzrayim. Then he would get his portion along with all of those who left Mitzrayim. So in other words, we would say that since he himself didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, then his children, even though they're not 20 years old yet, they would still get by virtue of him. So unlike Reb Yonason, who had said that the children themselves have to be 20 in order for us to factor them in over here, otherwise we would say we don't count them. Reb Shimon Elazar is saying it doesn't matter whether the children are 20 yet or not. Either way, they're entitled to their portion because their father was one of those who left Mitzrayim. Which, by the way, that Rashbam points out, that being the case, we don't have to say that our Mishnah is specifically according to Reb Yoshia that we said before. We mentioned before that the expression of the Gemara had been Tanya Commander Omer Liyotzim Mitzrayim Nischalka Oretz. That we Tanan Commander Omer Liyotzim Mitzrayim Nischalka Oretz. That our Mishnah had followed the opinion that Eretz Yisrael was divided based on those who left Mitzrayim. Now, the Rashbam says all that means is our Mishnah can't be like Reb Yonason. Because according to Reb Yonason, you would first have to consider those who were counted in the second census, and Benoit Slofkot are not counted in it, because they're girls, and girls are not counted, women are not counted in the census. So therefore, according to him, then the whole thing with how according to him, Slofkot's daughter got a portion, we're going to have to explain that later on. The Gemara is going to discuss how according to Reb Yonason they got a portion anyway, but the point is our Mishnah that mentions that they got multiple portions through Tzlofchad and through Chefer and so on and so forth would be according to, it doesn't have to be specifically according to Reb Yoshia, it could also be according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Because again, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, even if a person did not have children who were counted in the second census, he had boys who were below 20, or in, like in Tzlofchad's case, he had girls. It doesn't matter if he himself left Mitzrayim over 20 years old, so therefore he gets a portion of his own. Continues Reb Shimon Elazar. If, on the other hand, he's only one of those who entered Eretz Yisrael at age 20 years old, but he wasn't from Yotze Mitzrayim, so you could have, for example, the Rashbam says you could have that children who were born yet in Mitzrayim and their father passed away even in Mitzrayim before Yetzias Mitzrayim. The children themselves were below 20, but by the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were above 20, because if they were below 20, they were included in the Gzeirah of dying in the desert. So they were, let's say, 10 years old when they left Mitzrayim, and now by the time they enter Eretz Yisrael, they're 50. Then he gets his portion in Eretz Yisrael along with all the other ones who are coming into Eretz Yisrael between 20 and 60 years old. Another possibility that Rashbam says, another scenario would be where Reuben himself was less than 20 when he, before he left Mitzrayim, Then he had children during the years in the desert, and then he died in the desert, and his children go into Eretz Yisrael. Either way, the point is, the children are between 20 and 60 when they get into Eretz Yisrael, so therefore each of them gets in his own portion. And, continues Rav Shimon Elazar, if he belongs to both groups, if he left Mitzrayim and he made it into Eretz Yisrael, so, therefore he's going to get portions on both grounds. So the Rashbam explains, let's say, for example, so Reuven himself was over 20 years old when he left Mitzrayim. So therefore he's entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael because he left Mitzrayim over 20 years old. He had children during the years in the desert. Then he died. And then his children themselves are over 20 when they enter Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so then they're going to get, so each of them is going to get a portion of their own because they're from Boy to Eretz. And they're also going to get a portion that would have gone to their father who was from Yotze Mitzrayim. So therefore, so that's what it means. So when we say mikan, the Rashbam explains that doesn't mean we're not talking about the same person who left Mitzrayim and made it into Eretz Yisrael. What we actually mean is that where the children themselves are entitled to their own portion in Eretz Yisrael, and in addition, their father was also entitled to such a portion. So unlike Rav Yonason, who would say that in that case, what we do is we look at the children, we count the number of children, then we take the amount of nachla that they would have gotten, return it to their father, and redivide it accordingly. Rav Shimon Elazar says nothing, never mind that. They each get a portion in their own right, plus a portion that they divide up for that would have gone to their father. Now then the Rashbam brings another explanation, Yesh Meforshim, that Mikan and Mikan can be talking about one single person who left Mitzrayim and came into Eretz Yisrael, meaning, now how could that be? Everybody who was between 20 and 60, who was not from Shevet Levi, passed away in the desert, except Yeshua and Kalev. So Rashbam says, you could say that, for example, he was over 60 when he left Mitzrayim, and later on a few blocks, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Gemara is going to tell us that the ones who were over 60 at the time of the Chetam Araglim were not included in the Gzera. So therefore, you could have somebody who was over 60 when they left Mitzrayim, and then he's over 100 when they enter Eretz Yisrael. But the Rashbam says no, because the census only included those who were up to 60 years old. It didn't include those who were older than that. So therefore, no, he shouldn't be entitled to a portion from the point of view of being from Boy to Eretz. That said, the Rashbam brings, maybe after all, the explanation is correct. The Tosefta does say that when it comes to Yeshua and Kalev, that they each got a portion of their own because they were among those who left Mitzrayim and they were among those who came into Eretz Yisrael. Now each of them, by the time both Yeshua and Kalev were in their 40s at the time of the story of the Meraglim. Yeshua, we can calculate because we know he lived to 110, and we know he took over and led the Jewish people for 28 years. He was 82 when he took over from Moshe, which would mean therefore that 39 years earlier at the time of the Meraglim, he was 43. Meanwhile, Kalev describes himself, and Sefer Yeshua, he mentions on himself that he was 40 years old. So they were both a few years apart. So they were both within the 20 to 60 range. They were both above 60 when they came into Eretz Yisrael. They were both in their 80s. Or Kalev was 78 or 79, actually, but whatever. The point is, the Rashbam says, yes, the Tosefta does say they were entitled to a portion, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, at least they were entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael in their own right by virtue of coming into Eretz Yisrael alive. So therefore, so the explanation would be correct after all, but it's not necessarily what the Gemara means over here when it says Mikan and Mikan. On the other hand, Tosfos does prefer that explanation, and discuss the details of the chronology of it. The Pasuk makes a point of saying that among all of those who were counted in Parshas Pinchas, there was nobody alive from the original census except Yeshua and Kalev. But if the census in fact included those who were over 60, then there were others as well. So then there were others as well. So Tosfos says, fine, what the pasuk means is among those who were counted in the original census, who were that were going to be included in the Gzera, meaning those who were between 20 and 60, the only ones who were alive in the second one were Yoshua and Kalev, but there may have been others who were above 60 at the first one, such as Yair ben Menashe, that's what I was going to talk about in a few dafim, and they in fact lived to see the second census, and they lived to get into Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay. So Rav Shimon Elazar continues, going back to the Gemara. Meraglim Yeshua v'Kolev not l'chelkam. The Meraglim, as far as the Meraglim who left Mitzrayim, and they were above 20 when they left Mitzrayim, but they of course died in the desert. They didn't get a portion among the Yotzei Mitzrayim, like the Rashbam had said on Amud Aleph. Only the Tzadikim were going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, not the Meraglim who themselves were guilty of starting the whole thing. So instead, Yeshua v'Kolev not l'chelkam. So Yeshua and Kalev got their portion, the portion that would have gone to the Meraglim in Eretz Yisrael, they instead got. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain how we learn that. What about Mislonin and Vadas Torah? What about those who complained? What about those who the complainers, meaning the one the so so. So in other words, the Rashbam says, as far as the Meraglim, the point is, even though now the Meraglim themselves didn't make it alive into Eretz Yisrael, but they had children, so their children should have yarshin their father's portion, but no, instead Yeshua and Kalev got their portion instead. In effect, what we say is that because the Rosha was guilty, therefore the Tzaddik gets his portion instead. And Misloinanim v'Adas Korach, now on the face of it, Misloinanim and Adas Korach sounds like two different groups. Misloinanim would be the ones who complained, for example, about the Mon, and Adas Korach would be Korach's. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that it doesn't mean that, it actually means the Misloinanim from Adas Korach. In other words, the 250 men who joined up with Korach. So the same thing, they were above 20 when they left Mitzrayim, but they also, because of how they acted, they forfeited their portion for themselves and their descendants. So loy harla and chelik baretz. So they did not get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. We picture them as though they didn't exist. Now, unlike the Meraglim, we're saying that Yeshua and Kalev specifically got their portion. Here we're saying that what would have gone to the Misloinanim of Adas Torah, these 250, instead gets divided evenly among all the Shvatim. So the Rashbam points out this part that we're saying over here about Yeshua and Kalev and the Slonim and so forth could be part of Reb Shimon ben Elazar's statement, or it could be just the Tana going back to the idea of Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Schalka Aretz, it could be going back to Reb Yoshi's opinion. So this last part could work according to either one of them. Next, continues the Braisa. Now, what about then? So does that mean that the children of the Meraglim and the children of the Misloinanim of Adas Korach end up with nothing at all? Habonim not l'b'schus avi avihen or b'schus avi imoseihen. No, what it is they do end up getting a portion in Eretz Yisrael by virtue of their grandfather or by virtue of their father's father or their mother's father. So you take, for example, the first one of the Meraglim, Lamati Ruben Shamua ben Zakur. So we're saying Shamua himself was one of those who left Mitzrayim at age above 20, but he forfeited his portion in Eretz Yisrael because he was one of the 10 bad Meraglim. Well, if his father, Zakur, was one of those who left Mitzrayim between 20 and 60, then fine, Zakur would be entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't forfeit it. So then Shamua ben Zakur's children would be entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael that they would get from their grandfather Zakur, who was one of those who left Mitzrayim, in the same way with the other Meraglim, or if their mothers didn't have brothers. Then the same thing they could get through their mothers because their mothers could yarshin from their grandfathers who left Mitzrayim and they would get through them. So in other words, so even the children of the Meraglim and even the children of the Misloinanim and Badas Korach don't necessarily end up with nothing whatsoever. They can't get through their fathers because their fathers forfeited it by the way they acted, but nevertheless they could still get through their grandfathers as the case may be. And the Rashbam points out, now that would be, even if we say the boy, or if the schalka, even if we say that we go according to those who entered Eretz Yisrael, if these children were below 20 at the time, or with the meraglim, you can't really have that, because the meraglim themselves happened near the beginning of the 40 years, so any children that they had would be at least 39 by the time they enter Eretz Yisrael. But at least 38, whatever, if their mothers were pregnant with them. But at least with Adas Korach, we don't know when that happened. So it could have happened close enough to the end of the 40 years in the desert that some of the children could be below 20. Anyway, they could still get by virtue of their grandfathers who left Mitzrayim. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. So we have in short, a few different opinions of how Eretz Yisrael was divided. Do we go strictly according to those who left Mitzrayim, which was Rabbi Yoshia? Do we consider those who left Mitzrayim and those who come into Eretz Yisrael, but either way a person has to be 20 years old in order to be included in that division? That was Rabbi Yonasan. Or Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying that no, it doesn't really matter as long as you were 20 in one or the other of them, or as long as your father was 20 in one or the other of them, then you're going to get a portion. So the Gemara asks, now we said before, all of the Tanoim were using the Pasuk, L'shmos Matzes Avosam Yincholu, and they were each explaining that it does mean the names of those who left Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yoshi had said that it means that's where we get Liyotze Mitzrayim Neschalka Aretz. Rabbi Yonasan had said that's where we get that we have to return it to them and redivide it according to those who left Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar had said that as long as you're in one group or another. So all of them at least are agreeing that the words L'shmos Matzes Avosam Yincholu refers to the names of those who left Mitzrayim. So the Gemara asks that point. My mashma, the high l'shmos matas avosim b'yotz Mitzrayim. Who says that pasuk is b'chalal referring to those who left Mitzrayim? Dilma l'shvatim karmala. Maybe all it means is that you have to divide the land according to the 12 shvatim. So in other words, l'shmos matas avosim would just mean according to the names of the original shvatim, Reuben, Shimon, Yehuda, etc. Who says it's telling us anything about? Who says it's telling us anything about those who left Mitzrayim? And now again, we're going to have later on, the Gemara is going to discuss in a few blocks how the division was done among the Shvatim, and there's a discussion in the Gemara, and there's a further discussion among the Rishonim, whether it was divided in equal portions. Did each Shevet get an equal size portion, and that means in a larger Shevet people have smaller portions, or does it mean that it was divided such that each person should get an equal portion, and therefore larger Shvatim are going to get larger territories in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is going to take up that point later on, and Daf Kuf Chof Beis. Anyway, so you could say that maybe that's exactly what the Pasuk wants to tell us over here, that you divide it into 12 equal portions for the 12 Shvatim. And the answer is, because you have a Pasuk before Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem says to Moshe to tell the Jewish people, V'nasati osa lachem morosha ani Hashem. Hashem says, I will give it to you as an inheritance, says Hashem. Now, why mention this point, morosha? So it means Yerusha hi lachem me'aviseichem, means that Eretz Yisrael is considered to be your heritage. It's considered to be your inheritance all the way back to the others. And who is he talking to? Uli Yotzim Mitzrayim, Kol Malahu. And the fact is, Moshe is saying those words to those who are leaving Mitzrayim. At the time, after all, the plan didn't include, I mean, Hashem knows what's going to be in the future, but at the time, at least on the surface, the plan didn't include that there's going to be a chet meraglim, and they're going to wind up spending 40 years in the desert. So at the time, the Yotzim Mitzrayim were being told that you're going to be receiving Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. So later on, when the Torah tells us L'shmos Matas Avosam, then it means we have to factor in those who left Mitzrayim as well. So again, we factor them in exclusively according to Rabbi Yoshia. We factor them in as well according to Rabbi Yonasan and of Shimon Elazar, but one way or the other, it has to include the Yotzim Mitzrayim, because that promise was made to them. In fact, actually, the Torah Chaim makes an interesting point. Earlier, in a previous perek, we had learned, the Gemara had discussed the point that according to, we discussed the point, when you're buying, for example, when you're buying a field, or you're buying a path in a field or something like that, is walking on that path, is walking on in that field enough to be a chazaka? And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lozer, rather, had said yes, because we find that Avraham Avinu, Hashem told him, kumis halach baretz, and that was in order to make a chazaka on Eretz Yisrael. The Chachamim said it's not really to make a chazaka, it's just that Hashem was saying this way it will be easier for the Jewish people to conquer in the sense of Maisa of a Simon Labanim. So now, the Gemara is saying that because either way, whether we say that Hashem actually gave it to Avraham at that point, and he actually accomplished a chazaka that's valid in halacha, or whether we say just that it made it easier for the Jewish people to conquer, either way, now Hashem is promising as a result of that, it is a morosha, it is an inheritance for the Jewish people. So now we can consider it at like an actual Yerusha, such that we can say that it goes to those who were told this promise from Nasati Yosel Bachem Merosha, and therefore one way or the other, we have to say that Eretz Yisrael is divided based on those who left Mitzrayim. So now we just have the Machlokas, the three-way Machlokas that we have, whether in addition we factor in the Boy Ha'aretz, and how exactly we factor them in. So now the next piece of Gemara is going to discuss, now that we have these different opinions, now the Gemara is going to deal with, and we'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, about the, for example, how does this fit with the whole story of Benos Tzlochad, and how do we, and various other details that we see in Psukim, that seem to imply more like one or another of these opinions.